There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Man, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Good seeing everybody.
So good to see you. How are you? You have a new show coming out.
I do. In the midst of the press for it, I'm having a lot of fun. It's exciting. It's called
Tell Us an Angle on It that you haven't told any other press outlet. I'm not going to ask a question because I'm not a journalist, but just give us a weird angle.
The angle on it is, and the reason I wanted to do it was in the pilot, there is a section called a penis montage.
What?
Because we're a nudie magazine. We're essentially like the first Playgirl, mm-hmm. and I'm the publisher of it. And we need to find the male centerfold. And so I read in the script that there was going to be a penis montage, and I wanted to see what that looked like. And what it looked like was a group of, as we all know, extras are the greatest people on every set of all time. Mm-hmm. But now I saw them with no underpants. And one extra, like, it was like 35 dudes or something like that who were wanting to be in the show and get a bump for showing their penises. So like one naked dude after the next. And
it's real. It's not like prosthetic.
Those were real hogs. And it was probably the hardest I've laughed in a really long time because the immaturity spikes and you're trying to be professional and cool. But then you see like a long haired dude and take off his underpants and you're staring at his hog. And, it brought out the true 12-year-old in me and it was scream funny. So the show's really great. It's really fun. I'm excited for people to watch it.
So I just wanted to know what music that penis montage
It's all hits from the 70s, which you'll love.
Mm-hmm. I love it already.
So the music was great, but obviously what was look, when it's cut together, it feels way smoother. Cause obviously, as you guys know, there's never music while you're shooting. So the sound over the montage was the slapping of guys hitting their own butts and palms hitting their thighs. And then me going like this. And oh then AD's being like, everybody keep it together. The next guy is Carl, and me being like, don't make an inappropriate joke. Don't make a joke. Don't make a joke. How are you,
There's
sir?
Like an intimacy coordinator there trying to like make sure you're professional and you're making her job hard.
Yeah. And then when you're sitting there being like, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh. And then there's like a bigger guy with a ponytail and being like, where is he? Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you. And then he takes his shirt off and I'm like, I cannot believe on God's great earth what I'm looking at.
Jake, the fans have been messaging me ever since the announcement of your show. They've wanted to know, how many times in this show do you show your hog?
Every episode, about 40 times.
Nice.
You know, they're building.
So this is a dream role for you. This is
They're building this thing as King Kong 2.
Nice. Nice.
Hence the gorilla pictures. Right?
The only thing that could be worse than coming on set and having to pull your hog, is that what we're calling it right now?
Yeah.
Your hog out is then to have the big fancy actor of the show look at it and then laugh hysterically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Now, the problem is the kind of guy who's willing to show his hog, for the most part, he's got something to show. So you're laughing at somebody where you'd go, hey, at 5'4", about 135 pounds with long greasy hair, well done, sir. I have judged you incorrectly.
That's how he gets away with not washing his hair, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot that I learned about seeing the amount of genitalia in the person is that you really can't tell.
You can't.
There is no like indicator. It's not like, well, that's a thick bodied man, therefore.
Yeah. People look at me and they judge me correctly, I will say. You know what I mean?
What is correctly?
Strong.
What does that mean?
Strong. Healthy.
Strong.
Healthy. A little two-door Miata in the
but it's fast. I get the job done quick by myself.
They judge you on your wrists, Lamorne.
Yeah, I have dainty wrists.
You do?
And skinny fingers. Is but this massive biceps.
Have you got some arms on you? You been working out?
Hell yeah, dog. I'm trying to get my life together.
Yeah?
Yeah,
have you been
man.
Working out for real?
I have. Would you like to see my hog?
Sure.
No.
Yeah. All right.
What is happening?
No. No.
I'm not going to do it. But yes, I would love it if you showed it. That would be incredible. Speaking of, how about Ralph Ahn passing? What a sad thing.
Oh, he was so awesome.
He was in his 90s, by the way?
99
years
old.
No, he looked amazing. I thought he was a lot younger.
Yeah, what a misread on my part. I thought he was in his 70s.
Yeah, me too.
Do you remember your first scene with him, Jake?
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of them. He was so, you know, he doesn't talk on screen, obviously, as we all know and they all know, but he was a really present actor and he was joking in between. So it's funny being part of it. There's such a different take than people watching him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, a really solid actor. And, you know, obviously it seems like it's a bit because he doesn't talk, but we all know there's people who don't listen in scenes and there's people who listen.
Yeah.
And he was so good, even though he didn't talk, but I'm shocked. Meaning he was probably late 80s while he was doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm in my late 80s. There's no chance I'll be doing anything.
You're going to be sitting on a porch.
Yeah, Ralph in his 90s is me in my 50s.
Well, guys, get used to Jake now because...
This is it, man. This is it. I'm on the farewell tour.
Jake, well, didn't you have something to do with him being on the show? Like, wasn't it your idea for that character?
It was a soft pitch. I pitched Liz that I think it'd be really funny if Nick went to a park and had a magical friend who never talked, but Nick believed he could hear them so that you could get like exposition out from Nick. But they came up with the whole pitch of that episode where Zoe and I go in like the hot tub.
Yeah.
That was all the writers. And I think that's what really made the character. But I just like Nick having a character who never talked back, but Nick could hear him.
That was what I remember, was that episode on the page was not working yet. And they were like, It ended up being such a good episode. It was like the first one that Ralph was on. And then they were like, how about you guys get in a hot tub? And we're like, what?
So much of that show was like that, though, of like, well,
we figured it out. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, folks, we are talking to Jake Johnson. He was a cast member on New Girl.
Tune in halfway through podcast, yeah, by the way? I do.
What are you, an old radio guy?
We're going to pause for station identification.
Oh, yeah. We might have to pause for a commercial or something.
Yeah. We call it station identification.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to pause for Lamorne selling some stuff.
We're back.
We have Jake Johnson. If you just decide to skip the first 15 minutes of this,
it was all about hogs. So, you know what?
You want to listen to this podcast and start at minute 9.5?
We got Jake Johnson from Drunk History fame. Jake, you've done a
That's
lot.
How you know him.
Before we go back to the beginning, let's keep that. I want to talk about Dennis Farina, another actor that you got to work with. He played your father on New Girl. In the spirit of,
I love Dennis Farina. By the way,
I mean
amazing actor.
One of the more iconic actors that we have in our universe. God rest his soul. Jake, please tell us the story of Dennis and Max Greenfield.
For sure.
can we tell that story?
Yeah, I think so. But do you remember, Lamorne, that it was a big moment where, because you guys obviously remember rehearsals, we didn't overly commit as actors.
Right.
And yeah. I don't blame us. Now that we've all done, you know, at that time, I hadn't done as many jobs, but you start seeing the scripts were being rewritten. So we were reading them for the first time a lot of the time.
Yeah.
We would get pages and it would be the night before and we'd be walking into rehearsal. And I viewed it on that show as that's just the first time we're doing it.
Yeah.
But when we were doing Virgins, and do you remember how committed Dennis Farina was to rehearsals?
Yes.
And remember there was a scene we did on like a bed where he like gives us a talk and the crew applauded after a rehearsal because of his performance. I remember being like, they've never done that before. Yeah.
Especially with you are notorious for kind of phoning in rehearsals. It was a thing with
you.
I'm
trying to make fake news, you clown.
I feel like everybody was on the same call.
We were all
Jake.
Phoning it in.
We're all
very tired.
I was so professional.
You were not professional. You laughed halfway through every take when you initiated improv. Lamorne would walk into a scene. The scene would be, we would be starting, and he would go, his line would be like, the water's here. And he would go, well, hold on, hold on.
I just talked about this in an interview. They said, like, ask me questions about what you remember from the show. I said, I remember having anxiety because going into a scene with Jake Johnson, I would go, I know I'm going to do a bit. And I know I'm going to laugh. And I know he's going to kill me. I was like, I know he's going to kill me for it. He's going to kill me on camera. And I was like, those were some of the best days, but also the worst. Because I was like, damn it, man. You're a professional. You're supposed to be able to handle this.
You're one of the few guys that you would break midway through your own bit before you got it out. So even before we would know it was funny, it would be like, if you can't get through it, just say the line. You'd be like, hold on. Give me one more take at this. You haven't even done the take yet. Just say the line.
Jake, I want to say you're one of the most committed people to long-term bits I've ever met.
I give you the same credit, Zoe.
Thank you, which I so
we'll
love about
for a long
you.
Time.
We're still over text doing bits that we started on the first season of New Girl.
Yep.
And I still will try to make those bits happen with other people. And they're very like, great. What are you talking about?
My favorite bit with you and me is the when we started off pretending to be fake managers and tried
yeah,
to
yeah, that was good. Everybody.
Oh my God. Like, yeah.
Zoe and I are still doing it. I don't know how personal we get about families and stuff like that.
Oh, so, I'm okay. Fine with, yeah. Okay. You tried to sign my kids.
Yes. Zoe sent a photo of her son and daughter doing a funny video. So I just wanted to let her know, I did sign your daughter, I think right before she was born. I'm courting your son. And you know, I'll take Jonathan too. He's a hunk. So yeah. Now I got your whole group.
I know. It's a little, and your contract is really bad. That's the thing.
Was it 35%?
50-50.
I don't do
10% as a manager. I don't do 10% of the work.
And you don't take calls on their behalf or anything. You're it's like you're on your own.
I'm busy with my own shit, to be honest.
So it started out with us both competing to sign Max Winkler's dog. His three-legged German Shepherd to a contract. Hamlet.
Yep.
And then it went from there. Yep. That was one of my favorite bits, and it's still going on today.
I will
10
say
years this, and, yeah. and going.
The thing that I miss the most about New Girl and doing other shows like this show, Minx, was great, but it was only 3.5 months. So,
right.
and movies are so different. And what
so
the
different.
Thing about New Girl, which was so crazy, was how long we shot and then how much press we had to do over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that show, from the second that show got picked up until we were canceled, we were around each other so much. That just doesn't happen in my professional life anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it was like you guys were my family. I saw more than my family.
For me, it was in the first couple of years, I lost my mind because I was not used to it. You then get used to it and you figure out how to do it. But it would be like, I remember waking up exhausted, mm-hmm. driving to work. You're there from the dark to the dark. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you're leaving, you have to come back. And then there would be like some email from Todd Adair at Publicity being like, good news. This weekend, we have another event at 20th Century to celebrate. And I'd be like, holy shit, man, it never ends.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really quick before we get into the actual interview, because all this was just bullshit. Jake, tell us the Dennis Farina story with Max.
The Dennis Farina story with Max was he came on. He was going back to the long-term bits, right? Mm-hmm. We were all in bits. And me and Max's bit that we really still do together as well is that it's kind of who can out-dumb the other, right?
Right.
And where Max is at his funniest is when everybody hates him and he's so annoying. Like, he doesn't stop. Like, you know, on set, like, he would just hang out in my trailer. And there would be a lot of times where I'd actually ask him to leave. And you know, not because I was mad at him, but just like, you know, I just got in trouble about some alts. Like, my brain doesn't feel right. I'm so tired. Can I have an hour of lunch alone? And he would go like, no. And so we were in that mode and I was in kind of bully mode and we were messing with each other. And then I don't remember how it started, but we were doing some joke about the fact that Dennis Farina was a real tough guy. Mm-hmm. And he was an actual detective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a Chicago police detective. Yeah.
And then Max said something of the extent, and I don't want to, like, I don't remember all the details, but it was something about, like, I wonder as a detective, if you're, like, doing a stakeout, like, what do you do if you see, like, naked people? Like, I have to say, like, do you keep staking out? People would cry laughing, you know, and that was, like, obviously being a heightened version of himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's hilarious. And I was, like, dying laughing. And somehow, I think either I convinced him to tell Farina or I told Farina and we asked him.
Yeah.
And we were in such an overtired state of everything was funny that we forgot who we were talking to. And Farina did not find it funny or charming. He did not like the idea that as a police officer, he was a peeping Tom. And he did not see that we were being ridiculous and he hated Max for the question in a way that, like,
did it come out of Max's mouth and then he blamed Max for it?
Either that
he just connected with you more.
Either that or I sold Max out. I really don't remember. It really might have been.
You sold Max out.
It might have been I asked him and then I said, Max wants to know. I really don't remember. But I do remember. He hated Max in a way, and Max would say, like, you know, Farina would finish the day, we'd all shake hands, and Max would be like, he squeezed my hand so hard.
Well, the thing about Max is that, like, I very rarely would, like, see him, like, really, like, ruffled. Like, he's, like, a guy that's joking around all the time. Agreed. And whenever Farina would come on an episode, I'd see Max, like, truly nervous.
Agreed.
He's like, Dennis Farina's gonna be here. Like, he's not a guy who gets serious, but, like, he was scared.
But those annual bits that keep getting heightened and heightened day after day, I'm like, that shit was so funny. And I'm like, I'm realizing now, like, oh, that's never gonna happen again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get like, I'm sure I'm like woke, like, you get close to the people, but then you're leaving, you're gone for
you're
so
done.
Long.
You're
by
done.
The time you come back, yeah. I'm like,
and then you're doing, press virtually.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're like, I don't get to kick it and hang out and have a drink.
And I don't get to know you guys inside and out. So we know how to press each other's buttons. We know where everybody else is funny.
Yeah.
You then know zones you don't go. You know zones you can go, because it really felt like a team.
It was a team.
It was.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more Jake Johnson.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Welcome to our show.
And we're back with more Jake Johnson.
Jake, I remember talking to you in a surfer voice for at least 3 hours straight.
Yes. Well, also for seasons.
Jesus Christ, you guys.
We're getting all right. Down.
Okay, yeah. Now.
We got some mahi mahi, bro.
I love a mahi mahi taco.
You guys are so stupid.
We are so stupid. But I would walk in and it would be like 5 a.m. Or no, I mean, I would have been there for like an hour at that point. Yes. But you'd walk in for your call. I'd be like, what are you doing today, Jake? And you'd be like, of course I'm catching lots of waves, bro.
I honestly think for me, you know, and obviously sometimes we all got in trouble for doing too many bits on that show. Mm-hmm. But right. In watching, you know, and seeing it come up or people like refinding it, those were the fucking bits. And that connection is what people really like. Oh, like, yeah. We did all make each other laugh. Like, I remember Lamorne's bit was always you would pretend to be really confident and then stumble over your bit.
Yeah.
Well, that became Winston. Like, if you start 100%. Off the show, Winston was an alpha male who was competing with Max about running. And by the end, Winston couldn't get a sentence out because he would start and do the bit that you did on set. So I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Those bits on a show like that on single cam when you're there and, you know, they were so open to improv and so open to changes. I'm like, man, that gave so much to it.
Now, going into your beginning on New Girl, we all talked about our, and I know this is something that you've talked about in interviews and we've all spoken about it. Did you see this coming in the beginning? How did you get onto the show? And two, did you think it was going to be this thing, this chemistry, this?
Yeah. So I had met Liz Merriweather. I did an indie with Max Winkler called Ceremony, and she was writing a script with her, with Liz, Max, and Akiva. I think it was called like The Adventurer's Handbook. Mm-hmm. And they were doing it at Henry Winkler's house while Max was editing Ceremony. So Liz had seen that footage, and then she and I got to know each other, and she put me in No Strings Attached.
Nice.
And then when that movie opened, it opened number one weekend. And then it was that Sunday she texted, Fox just picked up my pilot. Would you audition for it? And so I had never been close to a TV show. I'd never tested. I am not what they call a good auditioner. So I was pretending to be cool with Liz, where I'm like, absolutely, I would be more than open to audition. I think I had like $95 to my name.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, it depends on the dates. But then, you know, when I found out Zoe was the lead of it, I knew we had a fighting chance. Because at that time, when, you know, you don't have somebody who could carry a show, you know, it's just a whole different beast. And so we had a true number one. We had a true shot. So I thought
some would say a true number one. Yeah. Some would say a true number one and a true number four. Go ahead. No, I was number four.
No, you weren't. Not at that time.
I was number four.
Not at that time.
They didn't switch our call.
I signed my contract, sir.
I was number four.
Thank you, Damon.
I actually remember you were the only person because I was reading with everybody once I was cast, and you were like the only person. I got multiple emails from so many friends saying, I recommend Jake Johnson for the role of Nick. Yeah, it was cool. I remember Jeremy Connor also Max Winkler.
Yeah, I remember being really nervous for our chemistry read because, but it's funny. Like, it's, you know, I've talked about it in press before, but, you know, you had a big say in casting of it. You know, as the show went on, we became a whole thing and it became New Girl. But like, we had to be approved by you. And it was a really trippy thing to be in a scene with somebody and then be like, but like, you know, if you didn't like a cast member, we weren't getting in. And so it was a really neat feeling to be like, I've known you.
Well, I knew I was going to have to be with people like a lot, which was true. Turned out to be true. And it's cool. Like, I feel like we got like, we got so lucky with this cast, really.
It was a great cast. But you knew more about the world of TV and the business way more than I think any of us did at the beginning. And so it was really nice to, like, I remember when you and I did scenes and we both knew it was pretty good.
Right.
I think you like wrote back to Jeremy. He was great. I was like, I think I got a real shot. I think I got a real shot.
Well, you were really, what was cool about you, and I mean, it's still cool about you, you're so unique. You're totally like, and you feel like a real, like your characters feel like real people that you know, and the way that you play quirks is in such a like genuine way. Like, rather than, I would say, like, a lot of people that would have come in to read for that part were more playing like at the comedy rather than playing like the reality of the situation. And you were like playing the reality of the situation, and then it's that much funnier, you know?
But I remember those early days, you know, how much we used to text and talk about the characters and talk about the world. Lamorne, I remember you came to my house during your auditions.
I did.
Max and I used to sit around and like literally call each other and like like there was so much passion for making this thing work that we all just by like season three, we all just forgot about because we're like, we've always done this.
Yeah.
You know, we all really gave a shit. And those characters and those connections, they didn't happen by chance. Like we really, and we all fought for it. And Liz Merriweather really cared.
Oh, yeah.
It was like really people cared. Really gave a shit about that show.
I think that's what makes things work in general. Like when you really put your all into things,
I think so too.
Tends to work.
Go a little crazy.
You have a shot.
But you're right. But you have a shot.
How did this happen? How'd this happen for you, Jake? I mean, people are so complimentary of you, obviously, because you're really skilled at what you do. What were you doing before New Girl? Why didn't it happen earlier, Jake?
What is this?
You were 48 when we started the show, right?
I was 53 years young. I was doing tons of theater and live stuff and trying hard.
There's a rumor that you were the before guy in a Tampax commercial.
That's not a rumor. I was the before guy. Ooh. And I'll give you the read of it. Yes. Chicken? you know, I was doing commercials. I was trying. Honestly, it's a really hard business.
Yeah.
I just remember one day we had a really like long, you know, day on set and there's some weird vibe going on and it was just tough. I don't know what was happening. I don't remember that part of it, but I remember you and I walking back to our trailers and discussing it and then taking a breath and going, yeah, but we can't forget that we won the lottery. And I just remember that it was like season one. And it was that idea of like, because it was our first time on a, for me, especially like on a show like that. And it was like, okay, yes, it is. This is challenging and difficult. And that's real. Those are real things we're experiencing. But the big picture is, yeah, we are so lucky and have wanted this for so long and it's happening. And don't forget that.
It's really funny. Yeah. It's funny you say that because the pandemic kind of redid that for me also. It was New Girl was hard. It was a grind. It was great. But we did big hours and people watch it and think like every second is a blast. It was a hard job. We were trying our
like
asses
two
off.
Shifts at a job. Yeah. Like we'd work 16-hour days. Like
we would basically do content for a 9-hour episode that would get cut down every week, and you weren't allowed to recycle bits. And we were asked to improvise. We were asked to experiment. Liz was working her ass off. Our staff was working their ass off. But I'd gotten to a point where I just got burned out with acting, and I forgot that feeling of loving it. And, because you put so many hours in and so much press and you start going like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Just to be on and all sound stages at the end of it, once you're past the magic of it, they're all the same.
Yeah. And
all crews, they're pretty similar. Cast, pretty similar. Yeah. And then the pandemic hit and it all went away. And I remembered that thing you were talking about, Hannah, of like, doing this is the fucking lottery, Goofy. If you're going to do it, like, love it. Because when it went away, I was very quickly like, oh, yeah, I remembered who I was before I got acting jobs. A fucking weirdo.
I was the before guy. Yeah. And now you've become
a professional weirdo.
dare I say, Jake, a heartthrob.
Thank you.
A heartthrob.
I was going to say, so when did you become Oscar Isaac? Like at what point? It was after David Kremlitz, right? It was started David
Kremlitz.
We're right in between. Then
the
you
three of us are all beautiful siblings.
Yeah. Right.
Well, here's the truth of lookalikes. There are not just those
the fact that there's a truth about it. Keep going.
Well, no, there are every white man with a beard and short hair. And I am them. and they are me. There's just a lot of us.
Well, Hannah and I look just alike, like, because we both have brown hair and bangs, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, it honestly gets as far as that, where, you know, every once in a while somebody, there's always like a new actor where they're like, you're the blank, but with the dad bod. And I'm like, who is this person? Like, we're just talking about a white guy with brown hair and a beard?
Yeah, man.
Like, that dude's 21 years old. We look nothing alike. And I'm like, that one. I'm that person.
What has been, I know we talk about the, early on in our process when we do press and stuff, sometimes we get shocked by the fan reception of New Girl, because we weren't out as much. We were working so much. Agreed, we were doing press so much. And then we go to one of these events at TCA's or something like that, or an award show, and you're hit with thousands of fans just who are calling you by your character name, who love the bits, they're quoting the show. Now there's this reemergence of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's almost like we just started.
By the way, this whole, like, during the pandemic, New Girl got a second life.
Yeah,
it's because it was especially on, like, Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and people thought it was a girls, new show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think now the way that things, you know, are just streaming, people discover them. There are like a lot of young girls who come up to me and they're like, are you still shooting the show? And I'm like,
all the time.
Yeah. They think it's a new show and it's something they can binge that's not done in a day. Yes. Right? It takes.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All the time.
I think because we made so many, we were in the network model. I'll tell you what's trippy about the new era of the Netflix New Girl fans is, and I don't know if it's generational, but I do feel like men who are discovering it now are admitting that they like it. And then when it first came out, would essentially apologize for liking it.
Yeah.
Like, as a dude, my big experience that I would always find so annoying with another dude, would they'd be like, hey, I'm not a fan of New Girl. My girlfriend loves it. But here's some funny stuff. And I'd be like, thanks for
I like Schmidt.
Don't have to apologize for being like, you're literally now in a bar quoting the show to me.
You
like it. You know it more
than
I do. You're a fan. Now I really like that, like, dudes can say, like, I like it. It's like, well, good. It's for everybody. It just happened to be called New Girl. That did not mean it was only for girls.
No.
With the reemergence of this show, you know, a lot of fans.
There's more guys than girls on the show. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And fans, you know, because it's new to certain people, to a newer generation, people always ask me, happened yesterday, the security guy, I was at a Laker game, the security guy comes up to me and he goes, hey, man, y'all doing one of them reunions?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. I have no idea. He said, y'all got to do a reunion, man. And he goes, I'm on episode. He goes, I just finished it. Y'all did four episodes, right? Four seasons, right? I said, well, we got a lot more to go. And he's like, what? And it was like this confusion. You know, he thought we had ended at like season four or something like that. He wanted to know if we were doing, and he's a grown man. He wanted to know if we were doing a reunion.
So I got to put you on blast, Lauren, because the reason you're telling this long story is just to get free Laker tickets. And I think it's snaky.
Jake,
it's on the nose. I don't think that security guard existed.
Jake, he did. His name was Johnny Laker.
What's his name?
Look,
Johnny Laker.
I was at the Laker game wearing Nike sneakers and an Adidas shirt.
No, Jake, that's not.
I was drinking vitamin water, which I really love, especially Jake, all pleasures.
Jake, you got to stop this. Can I finish telling my story about how when I was at the Laker game, because I'm a diehard fan of the Lakers. Shout out to LeBron James and all those guys.
Jake and I schemed to get free kombucha sent to the set, so I don't know if
yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, talking shit, Jake.
We were like, we both love this kombucha. Let's pretend to be a publicist and call them. So we got new
and we got some.
We're like,
you did. I got some because of it.
That's right.
Yeah, you were like, come to my trailer. You will not believe. And there was an entire cooler of Health Aid kombucha sent for us.
I've gone far enough in the past where I'll look at contact us on the back of things. And I've read him and like, hello, this is Jake Johnson from New Girl. I play a character named Nick Miller. I love your sweet and sour tangy sauce. But it blew my mind. They would send cases and then we'd have too many cases of kombucha and you got to drink it within a month. So you're like walking up the ramp. Like, do you want a case of kombucha?
But your probiotics are like so good. Your microbiome is on point.
Do you still drink that, Jake?
Not as much. I have an addictive personality. Okay. I get very addicted to things. I go really hard on it. And then I was having like 9 kombuchas a day. And I'm like, I think I'm turning yellow. What the? And I'm like, I'm done with this trash. I don't even like the taste.
What are some of your addictive websites?
But this is the new addiction right now. Water.
Water?
Oh, water.
In the first phase of my life, I'm going out for water. Gallon a day. Let's go.
Gotta do it. You gotta have that baby smooth skin.
Lamorne, you gotta finish your question. You were asking an important question.
I was asking an important question. I started off by talking about my experience at the Lakers game.
Oh, don't go that far back. Just get to the question.
Crypto.com
we don't need to go over it again.
Oh, we don't have to? Okay.
No. We got Johnny Laker.
Okay, Johnny Laker, Crypto.com Center. Okay. Would you be open to a reunion of the show,
like a season?
I can't believe you're asking this question.
Why?
Why? Mean, who knows? You know that when you get asked that question, Lamorne, and you're doing, what would you say?
I say, hell yeah.
Yeah. Look, here's the reality. Sure. Who knows? We would need Liz to come on board, see what she would be writing. It'd be very important who's directing it. What's the studio behind it? Do we do it on Fox? Is it a streamer? What does that actually mean? If we're all on like director's chairs doing like a talk, that would be a lot easier. Is it a series? I have no idea.
Friends reunion? Sure. That was a bit of a weird sell.
They sat around like a fountain and talked about the show.
I wouldn't do that.
That was funny because, well, I'm like, if we did that, it would be so weird because it only ended like 4 years ago. Like, they're going back to something that ended 20 years ago. So we're like, to see the couch from the loft.
I remember it was. It wasn't that long ago.
But Jake, so yes, you would. So I'm just marking that down here. Give me a second.
So Jake, Lamorne's taking the notes there, you do the best drunk person of any actor I've ever worked with. And I've worked with a lot of great actors. What's your inspiration? Not you, Jake. What's your inspiration behind that?
Growing up around drunk people.
Who's your favorite drunk person? You don't have to name names.
I had an Uncle Timmy who was my favorite drunk growing up. He was a true old world drunk, where, you know, puking in his hand, putting in his pocket on holidays, you know, the multiple sweaters at once, the real red face, the hobo's beard. Every year on my birthday, and I'm not going to do it now, it's because the joke is a long-winded one, that he would tell me the same joke. And so as like a little boy, you had to get a call and my mom would be like, hey Jake, it's your Uncle Timmy. And I'd be like, hello. And he'd be like, want to hear a joke? And every year it was the same joke, but he wasn't doing like the deep comedy bit of like, it gets funny after 10. He never remembered he told me the joke. As the years went on, and I'd be like 12, he'd be like, happy birthday, buddy. Let me tell you a little joke. And I'd be like, he's doing it again.
Do you think it was specific to you that like every year he's like, you know who liked this? Jake.
I don't know, but I do know.
Or you think everybody got that?
I did like the joke too. So it might've been specific. It was the long and short of it was, how to get an elephant into a hole full of ashes. First thing you got to do is you got to get an elephant. Once you steal that elephant, then you got to dig a hole the size of 3 elephants. Then you got to burn a bunch of paper and fill the hole up with ashes. Then you got to take peanuts and you got to line them all the way around this hole so the elephant goes. And once it gets to the edge, you run up and you kick it right in the ash hole. And every time, and he would take about 15 minutes for that joke. But when you got to kick it right in the asshole, I would always go like, I'm cry laughing, man. I am cry laughing. Well done, Timmy. You've done it again.
Do you think that's the inspiration behind your long-term commitment to bits?
No, I think it's my brother, Dan. Dan, yeah. And I, growing up, we did bits for years on end, to the point where like my mom worried about us and would say like, would you guys please ask each other real questions? But I was just in Vegas with him. We went and saw the band Chicago.
Whoa.
Yes.
By the way, they rock.
They still really? Got it.
Yes. And we were kind of going there and we weren't sure if we were going in terms of the long-term bits. We decided to go to Vegas to see Chicago. I bought Chicago shirts. We were pretending to be the biggest CTA, Chicago Transit Authority fans of all time. I wasn't sure if we were doing a bit or we were really excited. And I was like, we're so deep in this that we're literally flying to Vegas to see Chicago. And we're like, who's even in the band still? They've been playing for 50. What the fuck am I going to see the band Chicago? We got to the theater. It was an older crowd. Obviously, I'm the oldest gentleman on this Zoom, the oldest person here. I was the young boy there.
Oh,
like the front row of like the babes cheering on the band. I'm not kidding. We're in their 70s.
Oh yeah. So
the show starts and I'm really laughing. And I'm like, this is a room full of like 60 plus. And the band was okay. It started slow. Then they take an intermission after like 20 minutes and my brother and I are dying. We're like, who takes a break after 20 minutes? A concert. And I know why. Those motherfuckers came out and killed the second half. There was no irony. There was no bits. We were just going like, the lead singer came out and goes, I'm now going to take you to the magical 80s. And he did.
Did they have their full horn section?
The full horn section, yeah.
That's, I mean,
it really was.
That's so cool. Yeah.
But my brother and I spent the entire weekend in a bit. So, like, when I get home and Aaron was like, how's your brother? I'd be like, not sure. but it was really fun.
So there was a poster on your wall in Nick Miller's room of a band, right? That you selected personally because it was a friend of yours. What was that?
Yeah, Billy Bungroth. I always try to get it, or at least in that show it's kind of faded, but I was really excited about being able to influence the background and care and try to get people on it. It was so neat to me that I was on network television that I couldn't believe it. So my high school buddies, Oliver Raleigh, his band was Pass Control. I got his poster on the wall. Billy Bungroth was in J.C. Brooks in the Uptown Sound. We got that on the wall. Oh. Erin had a gorilla drawing. She drew a gift for me. I got that on the wall.
I remember the little one with the little the squirrel. Erin drew.
I got the squirrel on the photograph. Wall.
Yeah.
For all the fans out there, if you can catch these images, screenshot them, tag us in them, post them. We want to see some of these things.
Speaking of super smart bits, though, I'll never forget. I don't know what it was like. Halfway through the first
smart
season,
bits.
Standing.
I don't know about bits. Any of those.
I'm telling you, it's acting advice I have never forgotten. Because I was standing there in the, you know, whatever, 9-inch heels, feet, you know, near bleeding. And Jake was laying on the couch holding a beer. And that's how he got to spend his day compared to mine in the scene. And I was
that's
like,
right.
You're so lucky.
Right.
You're so lucky that the writers did this for you and you get to sit there comfortably. And Jake, do you remember what you said to me?
I mean, I know writers, what the gist was.
Yeah, you're like, well, no one wrote this for me. I made this decision in the pilot. I understand that this is going to be long days and this could go on for a long time. I want to be seated with a drink in my hand.
Well, it wouldn't have been the pilot. It was probably like episode 4 when I'm like, these are 14-hour days. If you notice by like season 3, my character starts wearing... in terms of shoes in your trailer, actors always get a thing they call warming shoes, which are just really comfortable slippers.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, we're talking about 14. Yes. Lamorne's got them still.
I still wear them.
But I would just walk into the scene with them and in a pair of sweatpants. And if I'm here for 14 hours, a lot of the days you're spending on other people's coverage on that show, which I've never experienced since. Where you're sitting there for 10 hours and you don't talk in a scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, They would feel the need to bring us all in for the cold open part.
Yes, every
like,
week.
Everybody, every week, and it would always be, and I was thinking about this, how similar all the cold opens really end up having to be. And they're like, well, we realize that only certain things work. So a lot of times it was like one character coming into the loft living room, setting up the main story. And then everybody coming in and saying maybe one line, and whoever that person was had a lot to do. And then, but a lot of times you're like either in the background or they'll be like, we figured you'd be eating cereal in the background.
All Nick Miller would do in a lot of those exposition scenes, because that big monologue was either you or Schmidt mostly. So I would be, you know, you guys carried more of like exposition stuff. So I'd be like literally drinking the beer would be a soda water. Mm-hmm. And I'd be sitting there. And then at one point I would go like, without being disrespectful, if she's talking to, let's say Zoe's doing a monologue and it's really to like Hannah's character and the guys are just there because they have their A story and we're in the B story. Should I be here at 6 a.m. or like 10?
I tell you this.
You're not letting her do it in three takes. You're going to make that monologue last for 4 hours.
Yeah, I blame Rizzoli.
You blame me?
I blame Rizzoli.
No.
Oh, Rizzoli.
I blame Mike Rizzoli.
I blame our AD.
I love Mike Rizzoli. Mike would call me. Mike, sometimes, just like you said, someone would be doing a monologue and I'd be way in the background, full makeup, like wardrobe and everything, knowing I'm not going to say anything till after lunch. And I would go, can I go to my trailer? It's like, hold on a second. We'll just give us a second. And I'll go, man, I'm not supposed to be here right now. And then during, you know, that call when it says, oh, you're not used to after lunch, he would come in and apologize. Hey, man, look, man.
Here was the catch with us as
a cast. It's the 80s job, though.
But yeah, keep you around. But here was the difference with us as a cast. None of us felt disrespected by the other one never being there. So if Nick comes in and does a monologue and I'm mostly talking to Jess, and in the end of the scene, Lamorne pops in and says, like, I like puzzles. I don't need you standing for the 6 hours of us doing every alt, every improv, cross coverage, singles, a two shot. So at the end, and a single, you could say, I like puzzles. Bring him in later.
How about this? Yeah. Bring me in first to say that I could go home.
We made a pact like where we're like, you're like, do you care if I like pop out of my room and, you know, say this thing about whatever? And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, that's like,
They just have to bring you in to tie
you into the story. Like, you have to be written into the scene, but you don't have to be there like in the background.
We would be there for each other when it was a scene and when it mattered.
Yes, of course.
And we were always into cross coverage when we had like an important moment.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the comfort stuff, I started realizing I could be standing, because in the pilot, Damon and I were mostly like standing next to each other and we were always like on the other side of the couch. So like there would be like a move where I'm like, honest to God, my legs are hurting. So I'm like, if I'm here all day, and I don't think I had like, you know, if I didn't have like, there'd be entire scripts where Nick would just ask questions early on and every one of my lines would end with a question mark. And so it'd be like one line, I would ask this and then like, it'd be like, Nick reacts. I'm like, I can do this comfortably sitting with my legs.
Yeah.
Your character is known for saying stupid, ridiculous things on the show. Iconic lines. You give your cookie, I got you. That's like, it's not scripted that way. This is Jake. I mean, but to say the way you said it, Jake, no one would read it the way you read it. Any one of those lines stick out to you in particular that you just love doing the most, or you're constantly reminded of it, or?
No, in terms of that, what I really liked is with each scene partner, it was a different show. So like if you and me had our story together, there was a vibe on set, there was a vibe together. Like remember early on, we always ended up slapping each other.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know each other's bits yet. So a bit would end and then we did something in a grocery store where we were both like, man, I got a headache after that shit.
Yo,
so we're like, all right, we need to find another bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like when Zoe and I were together, I knew those bits. With each person, you would know that rhythm. But the reason I never liked the cold opens was because when you throw everybody together, it was too much of the mixing of the world.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I knew how to like do bits with Damon, and then you'd like pair him up with somebody else. And then like Zoe and I do bit. And then if it's Zoe and I, I know what those are. But with everybody, you've got all these funny people and most of them aren't doing any of the bits. And then you're actually viewed as being annoying when you start improvising, cracking jokes and laughing because you're slowing down a day. But I'm like, but everybody, we've all got our own like secret languages.
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than like the lines or something I remember, I remember what it felt like to do on certain days where you'd see a script and I'd be like, oh, I'm in a story with this person and or that guest star. So I'd be like, oh, fun. I know what that tone is. I know what that vibe's going to be. And each, it always felt so different depending on who the people were with.
You just reminded me of that episode where we're, I forget the name, Joelle, if we could figure out the name, which episode that was in, where we're having a slap fight contest.
Yeah, in the kitchen. It was about, we were doing something with the horse tracks.
Yeah, and I remember this is
Dennis Farina called, it was with Dennis, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I remember, Jake, I remember I realized something about you in this moment when we were doing the slap fight bit, right? That you won't, and we talked about this earlier, this was my reminder that Jake won't stop the bit. He will keep doing the bit. My face was hurting after the first slap. And I was like, but I have to slap him back. And then you slap me back even harder. And I was like, this is not, hey man, this shit hurts.
You said like, hey man, could you go less hard? And I'm like, well, we're in a two shot. It's funnier. You, I can't put it in.
I said, damn, this motherfucker is heavy handed. He doesn't understand. This is Jamie Foxx tells a story about LL Cool J about doing a bit about Jamie, like LL Cool J wanted to fight for real in the scene of Any Given Sunday. Jamie had to tell LL Cool J, hey man, this is acting.
This is so funny.
Didn't that happen in that hallway wrestling scene?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Dermot.
I broke my hand.
For real. You like it was a real fight.
No, it was not a real fight. Right? I hit my hand against the wall. What was different about that and what kind of got tricky about it was, and we did so much improv and so many bits. And what Max and I did, which I didn't realize honestly until after the show, which was really disrespectful to guest stars, is we would do bits while they were calling like quiet on set because we were all so comfortable with the show. That you would memorize those lines so quickly, you would know the tone. You would also know, like, if I forget my lines, I'll say salami sandwich, and somebody else will say something, and then we'll get back on track. You forget that other people. I forgot that other people weren't there that much. So, like before that, while we're sitting backstage, we didn't give Dermot a chance to like think. We kept calling him Big D, asking about his hair. They'd be like, quite on set. We'd be like, your hair looks great, and he'd be like, so we're wrestling and be like, yeah. And then joke. And the scene starts. And I don't think he knew the level of wrestling. So it wasn't a fight. It was just, we hadn't communicated what we were doing.
Yeah. But you really broke your hand. I actually remember part of the problem. I mean, well, I can't say it's a problem, but that you were kind of acting like a tough guy about it. So you couldn't tell how much it hurt you.
Yeah.
I could tell because I knew you really well and you were like, all of a sudden you weren't laughing anymore. And like, normally you're always laughing. And I was like, ooh, he's really hurt. But like to the untrained person,
it's true.
Like the person that doesn't know you, you'd think like, oh,
the bit was still going on.
Just still doing a bit.
Well, what happened was it's not that it hurt so bad. It started to swell up. So the adrenaline was going in a way where I didn't quite feel anything yet, but my hand was getting really weird. And obviously, like especially then, it's changed since I've had kids and got, you know, as it's gone. But like, I did not care about health for a lot of years of my life.
We know.
So my body would just be like, you just try to disconnect from your body. So if you have like a weird welt, like try not to think about it. But so that I remember being like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. But in between lines, I would look down and because I'd broke a bone here, there started becoming this bubbling thing. And Josh Greenbaum was our director, who's a friend, and he and I are always doing bits. So I was like, it's the problem with living in bits too long. It's the boy who cried wolf. When the wolves are coming to attack you, everyone's like, are they?
Is his hand broken?
I've spent many moments of my life being attacked by wolves, being like, God damn it, I built this house. Lamorne and I were doing a bit where we were talking. He was shooting a commercial in Pasadena, and he's like, "Hey, I'll come by and we'll hang out after." And I was like, "Ooh, you're doing a commercial. You're rich. So you come over, bring me steak and lobsters." And he came over and he brought a lobster that was alive. I'm like, "Lamorne, I'm not cooking this. I was like, get it out of my house." And he was like, "You said lobster." And I'm
where
like,
"Where did you go? How long did it take you to find the lobster?
Well,
like you,
live lobster.
Well, I told
a live lobster in a bag to my home.
No, I told I told production to get me. I thought they were going to bring me cooked lobster.
Oh, interesting.
And what was the saddest part about the whole thing? One, what was happening to the lobster, but the other sad part was that the PA who dropped it off was vegan. And was looking at me like I was the worst. And I didn't know what she was doing. I was like, why is she staring at me? And I look, it's a live whole lobster in my bag. And I lost it. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? This is way beyond the bit. And Jake wanted nothing to do with it. Took it back to a friend's house. They ended up taking it to the ocean, which I do believe was the wrong ocean.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You set it free.
The wrong, what do you mean? Oh, it was meant to be in the Atlantic?
Yeah.
Mm. That's a long trip, though.
That's a drive.
That was a drive, but we couldn't make it. So hopefully he survived. Okay, so.
And now he's an invasive species. He has babies.
The more killed the ocean, the more killed the ocean.
Let's move off from New Girl for a second. You've done, man, you know, obviously working with people, you become friends and family, but you also become fans. Dude, Spider-Verse, man, I love that. I love that movie. I hate animated shows.
My kids asked to watch that movie all the time.
Tell us about
so
that.
Good.
How, like, do you get recognized more for that? Or that's a huge, that was a huge deal. Like, do you get recognized from that ever to come up to you, talk about Spider-Verse, or is it strictly New Girl?
People talk about Spider-Verse.
Okay, good. All right, we're back with Jake Johnson.
Who talks about Spider-Verse?
If you've just tuned in,
who's four?
Yeah,
he loves Spider-Verse.
No,
I ask me about it all the time.
Chris Miller and Phil Lord, who were the kind of the people behind that whole version of the rethinking of the Spider-Man world. It was really great. We're doing the new one now. They're really talented. Mm.
So talented.
It's like, and when we all know as actors, there's a really big difference between getting like a great script and a medium one.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny. Like you just see it and it's funny. Cause I remember during that Phil would be like, "Hey man, I wrote you some stuff. We'll figure it out in the booth. It's not quite ready." And I would read it and I'd be like, "No, this shit's ready." I just say these words, it's good. And so it was a really nice thing about like, yeah, good's coming. It's great material. It's great stuff.
Can you tell us
what about your writing, Jake? I know you wrote Ride the Eagle.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And did Trent O'Donnell directed that?
We did it together.
It came out this last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic. It was great. It was funny. So Trent, who was a new girl, you know, I think he directed like 50 episodes, something like that.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. Love him. I think he is such a secret to the success of that show. And he's now starting to have a moment. I've been teasing him because I think he's becoming kind of like a little bit of a mogul. he's got like a bunch of shows and he's always like, we'll text about getting together and he's like, "Well, I'm at the law working on another shit." And I'm like, "Oh, you're becoming that guy." But he's so wildly talented. And what happened was in the pandemic, we both really just missed working and bits and being on set. So we financed it. We made the whole movie for $250,000. I think we shot it in like 9 days. Ooh. And it was really it was a blast.
So we did have a fan question. The question is, you did a movie,
this isn't Ride the Eagle. Is it?
Huh? No.
This is it says you did a movie, Ride the Eagle, with Darcy Carden, Susan Sarandon, J.K. Simmons. When did you discover you had a talent for not casting your real friends in your movies, a la your new girl castmates?
The fan question.
I know, we're all like, we didn't get the call.
Lamar Morris.
Trent, yeah, Lamar, yeah, Trent was directing, and he didn't call Lamarne.
Yeah,
call Lamarne.
He didn't call Zoe. He didn't call Hyena.
Well, how about you guys cast me in some shit? God damn, man, I'm struggling to look
out. You know I don't make anything, okay? You know I don't.
We do have one thing called Nick's Box that we're gonna come to when we come back from our break.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to our show.
And we're back with Jake Johnson.
We are back with Nick's Box.
I have to just say, because we're talking about your movies, you were, I feel like, the only person that between seasons would just go off and be in these huge, ginormous films while the rest of us were like,
I had no energy break between seasons. I don't know.
Like,
how
you had like
you
a summer
it
with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And coming back. And that for me was always the most exciting thing. It was like the kid coming back to school that had had like the best fucking summer.
Well, that one specifically. So,
You came back and you were super fit too.
Very into health.
Yeah. No, I wasn't into health. I was super fit because he wanted to work out together and I was very afraid of Tom Cruise. But that job happened because, you know, I think if you get an opportunity to work with Tom Cruise, you take it.
Yeah.
But look, you know, this interview is spitting in a way that's not reality. We were all working. I understand I'm the one being interviewed, but if we were doing this at Vulture and they were doing it, we all did projects over the summers, guys.
Oh, really? Who else was doing stuff over this? I mean, I'm just saying, no one else was like in Jurassic Park and it, what?
I did.
Everybody did stuff over the summer.
We all did. Hey, Hannah, speak for yourself,
I'm
Hannah.
I'm pretty sure you did too, Hannah. Maybe you just don't remember, but
I was in a cabin in Bhutan.
I remember we were talking about some movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, and Taron Killam.
Okay, that's
yeah
true. That happened.
Get the fuck out of here. Who's writing these questions, you two?
We are. That's the problem. We are.
Okay. We have a thing called Nick's Box, or as I like to call it, your box.
Okay.
Today, it's Jake's Box. This is the segment where we crawl into the back of Nick's closet and pull out some memories that the cast and crew of New Girl have kept hidden for years. Jake, what's your favorite memory from your time working on New Girl?
Or worst memory.
You know, or honestly, just your most prominent memory.
You know, honestly, in a, you know, I've said it, we've all obviously all done a ton of press for this show, but it was working with all you guys. And it was Max and it was Damon and it would be the Wriggles of the world. It was, you know, when we talk about the long bits, I don't remember a lot of the episodes. I don't remember certain lines. I don't remember a lot of the drama. Like, you know, you'd have like a hard day and somebody would be mad at you for screwing up a line. It's like you didn't hit the joke. All that shit faded away from me. And what I really remember about it was, you know, so many laughs and so many hours of doing stuff where you'd get slap happy and you'd be acting really immature. And it was probably annoying for those outside of the circle of actors, you know, because they're holding boom mics. But like, there were many times I just couldn't stop laughing. Or you're off camera and someone's doing a performance and you guys have done a bit that like I remember like other actors would make sounds during performances to try to screw you up. So like if I was doing a scene, I would hear like whoop, whoop. And you're like, you know, that is quote unquote really bad, but it made it so, it made it the experience so joyful. And I do feel like what people take from it is there was a lot of joy and there was a lot of laughs and there was a lot of like genuine fun we were having, where people say like, how much are you like your character? And the truth is, I don't think any of us are really like any of our characters, but our joy was real and our bits were real. And I think people can feel that. When I watch a show that I like, you feel like you get a sense that like that must have been fun to do. And a lot of New Girl was really fun to do.
Yeah.
And well, that's kind of my big takeaway from it. I don't really, there'll be moments, things will come up, like even Tran or Ralph passing away. You know, I got hit by a wave of sadness, but I don't really remember much of the stuff we did besides like being on set when he was around.
Yeah.
And always being happy that he was there and just being like, oh yeah, it was always like fun. You would see certain episodes and you'd be like, oh great, like these three people are here now. Cool.
Jake, people don't remember what you did for them. They remember how you made them feel. And that's what's important. That's the takeaway.
I'm going to take off. Zoe, Hannah,
we love you. Come back anytime.
But that,
I'm
what are
putting
you
Lamorne on mute.
Yeah, what are your takeaways?
Honestly, that's my same takeaway.
Is it? Yeah.
Like, I don't remember all the, like any drama or anything. I don't remember at all. I do remember loving doing bits with you guys. I just miss you guys. I mean, obviously, because we're doing a rewatch podcast. Yeah. Like, I love working with all of you guys so much. And I love, you know, the camaraderie with the crew and the writers. And that was my favorite part, too. So.
Yeah, mine was just that there was no pressure. It was no, again, oh, we're friends. And now you work on a project, you're like, okay, I can't suck. I can't, you know, are they going to give me shit, like real shit? Like, on New Girl, if I sucked, if I did something, you would call me out on
it. Part of it. 100%.
Yeah, it was like there was part of the part of the bit on other
projects.
You're right.
If you came in and were having like a bad mental day and you couldn't remember it, I would know this is going to make everybody else have the best day. And they're going to look, I'm going to be the guy in the corner getting railed on, but it's funny.
Max not knowing his lines is one of the funniest things. He would curse himself out. He would go, fucking Max.
Yeah. But the other thing, and I don't know if you guys felt this before doing this kind of rewatch, I don't remember storylines.
Right.
So I don't remember like arcs. I don't remember like, you know, there'll be something, I'll be doing an interview for something and they'll bring up something and go like, how'd you feel about that decision? And I'm like, I don't even like, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful about it. I'm like, that's not what I remember about it.
Yeah.
I remember the whole package, the final product, the final 22 minutes, like we were there for 50 hours.
Yeah.
So like what they cut in and like what
80 hours. We were there for 80 hours.
But like, and you know, if you're doing a scene and they cut it down to a minute and a half, we performed that scene, especially if it was like a big dinner table scene. we were there for 12 hours doing bits, and entire comedic bits were cut out. But I like those are like, I don't even know. Like I had a memory the other day of when we were at the bar, that little dancer, Terrio. Am I saying it wrong, Lamar? You know who I'm talking about.
Oh my God. Lil Terrio. Ooh.
So it started, I don't know how it started, but when somebody would go, ooh, ooh, whoever was in the single would do like a Terrio dance.
Yeah.
And, you know, the editors or whoever didn't like it. I don't think any of it's in the show.
No.
But doing Terrio was like for 4 months, what I looked forward to going to work. That when somebody would come in a scene and be like, bad news, I've been fired. All you'd have to do is off camera go, ooh. And you knew, like, at least for me, I'm like, I'm about to get a show. Like, I'm going to see somebody in full Ontario. And the other joke was like, if you get somebody off their game, I always loved in that show, like, all right, like I threw off a really weird line. How are they going to get back on story? And for me, the like skill was, you take a really weird improv, but then you're driving. You got another line, like get us back in, make it usable. And that shit was so fun. And like,
do you remember, Jake, that we made up a song and convinced Lamorne that it was a new single?
Yes. And I remember there was also something about like a sexy dancer.
It was like, oh my God.
I'm a sexy ass dancer.
And we're like, do you know that song? And he's like,
how does it go again? Oh my God, I'm a sexy dancer. But then the beauty of that show, and I honestly, it's just like Minx, the show I'm doing, we don't really improvise. So you can add like a line or two, but we would be doing that, oh my God, I'm a sexy ass dancer. They would call action. And the beginning of the scene is we're all still going like this. Yeah. No, nothing to do with the first chance, if you two are talking in that scene and I'm going to get a beer, well, I'm going to then go, excuse me, I'm going to get a beer. And go, you're a sexy ass dancer. Well, that line might have made it in the cut. And all of a sudden, for some reason, Jessica makes a sexy ass dancer. And I was like, that is so fun. And whenever you can sneak something really weird and it would make it into the show, that always felt like such a point of pride. If you like did a really weird improv and then it was in and you'd be at ADR and I'd be like, oh yeah, that madness made it onto network television.
That was probably like the ultimate.
Yeah.
What's that?
The ultimate when you have a bit that's weird and it makes it on.
And
TV.
It makes it in, and then it starts defining the character. And I was like, that was always.
That's Winston. You're right. That is Winston.
It's funny when you talk about like the shared experience. That's the thing I think about the most with this show is very few people will understand what it was truly like, because they only see that 22 minutes or they read in, you know, an interview that you've done and that's what they think it all was about. I remember maybe it was end of season one, season two, that time kind of blurs, but you showed up, you drove up to the trailers in like a brand new car.
Then it like would have been season
a Lexus.
Season two. I got rid of the Ford. Lexus.
That's right.
I remember we were like, ooh.
It was like a convertible, right? Like you could take the top down or something.
Hard top convertible.
I thought it was, I was like, what? And you're like, you know what? I think this is real. Like, I think this show is staying around and I feel finally comfortable to do it. And I looked across at my like real beat up first car that I came to LA with that the side mirror was like in the glove box and you're like, you know, I think it's safe.
And you and Hannah, then you said, how'd you get that? And I gave you my contact.
That's right. I still use today. I showed up in a Lexus a week later.
Yeah, I remember.
But I remember you took me for like a spin around the lot and you were just like, this could be your life.
This is it.
You can do
we're
it.
We're here now.
I remember everybody showed up with new cars, like, about the same week.
Yeah, it was. Well, because for me, I knew season one. Well, it was funny with that show because Max had a really good instinct about what was going to happen in a way that I didn't. Where early on, he would be like, midway through the pilot, I remember being really nervous I was going to get fired. And he's like, you're not getting fired. The show's going to be fine. And then when we got picked up, he would say season one, he'd be like, we'll be here at least 5 years. And I'm like, how the fuck could you say? He's like, look at the ratings. I'm like, dude, we could be gone next week. And so for me, it took after we got picked up and we were guaranteed 13 more into season two. That's when I remember being like, no matter what, now I've done 30 episodes of a television show. That to me was, you know, when I moved out to LA, if you told me I was going to do 30 episodes of a network show, I did it. Let's go home. Big win.
Get an Lexus.
Get the Lexus, drive around in a convertible and head home. That was a nice
you guys
job.
Did it wrong, though. I got mine for free. That was the play. Oh my God. Free
you did not
cars,
know that
baby.
Was an option.
Free cars, yeah. Baby.
Aren't you driving a Lamborghini now?
Hey, listen, let's not talk about my cars now, okay? Let's not talk about my
poor
financial
decisions. You're like one of those
decisions.
Guys who buys a house and then you're like, but let me see the garage, right?
Guys, if you're just tuning in, we had Jake Johnson on our show. Girl alum.
If you decided to tune in 55 minutes into this episode.
Jake, this has been great, man.
Great to see you guys.
All right, great to see you.
Jake, take it easy.
Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zooey Deschanel, performed and produced by Zooey Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at Welcome to Our Show Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule release to learn more.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug
All
needed.
Right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.